Missed the conversation while soaking up the sun?
Find all the interviews in the podcast section on capetalk.co.za.
I've been asking you what your pet peeves are in just sort of the social cues, human social cues. Morning, Rifulo. I hope that's the right spelling. It is. Thank you so much. My pet hate is people that leave shopping trolleys behind them in the queue when they pay. Dude, why must I move your trolley out of the way? I feel you, bro. Or sis. Somebody else who says when shoppers expect you to move their trolley basket after they cash out. Okay, this is a proper pet peeve. So what kind of a person is this? So, like, they don't take it to the other side and then pack their bags into the trolley? How are people raised? And then this WhatsApp says, do pedestrians think if they look at you while they cross the road where the light is green for vehicles, it will somehow keep them safe? I love this one. As you know, I used to drive. I don't that much anymore. But I always crack up how Capetonian pedestrians think I won't. Babes, you really think I won't? Like, it's just like, well, I'm going to take my time. Have a listen to our cross word earlier was Dikiwe. Have a listen to this voice note on Dikiwe, Cape Flat style, they say.
This is Mervin in Cape, in Kales River. I woke up with a very, very good feeling this morning. And I told myself I wasn't going to let anything upset me. But the feel where Dikiwe in Cape Afrikaans. Ek is gatvol of all these taxis that, you know, as soon as I got onto the N2, my mood just changed. The taxis, the N2 is open, it's free. The lanes are all smooth running. There are hardly any cars on the road. But these taxis are switching and to and fro into the bus lane just because the one guy wants to get in front of the other guy. Man, it's crazy. I'm really hot for the Dikiwe of all these taxis, the behavior. That's my rant for this Friday.
All right, thank you very much. Gatvol is a word we definitely love. I'm so sorry, my brother. I just want to highlight that you said Dikiwe very well. Matt Young, I hope you're listening to how that was said. All right, Dikiwe Brexit Kemna. Let's hear from Adam Gilchrist what he thinks about the results of the British election.
Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Welcome, Mr. Gilchrist. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. Very well. I have to say I did spend most of the night sleeping, decided that I would not follow the pattern of results.
Your
correspondents let you down there.
No, you did yourself a great service because you would have just been leaning more and more in one direction. All right, so talk to us about where we are in terms of this new government taking shape.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because time and time again, as the results came in, people were suggesting it had become a one-issue election, and that's what swung it. I'm not sure it's entirely that clear-cut, but I guess there's a reason why, for instance, traditional Labour strongholds that voted to leave the European Union have now gone with the Conservatives because of the split between them over Brexit. And so, basically, Brexit ruled more over party politics than perhaps people were expecting. We did say that the way the opinion polls had gone, it looked like it could be anything between a hung parliament and maybe a Labour squeeze or a handsome majority for the Conservatives. Well, it will be a handsome majority. And I suppose that's the point. Any government that gets into a democratic position with a handsome majority then has a mandate to do what it likes. And so Boris Johnson, to some extent, the ball is in your court, sir, because he's talked about how we will be out of the EU by the end of January. Well, check your calendar. That's 6 weeks.
Okay. I don't know how he manages that calculation.
It's going to be tricky. I wonder if he can quite do what he was, let's get Brexit done. It was his mantra, but I'm not quite so certain it'll be quite so easy, or at least if it is that easy, it's going to be very painful for some. But he has a mandate of the people. He's heading for a fairly whopping-sized majority. But there's some individual things in there as well. I mean, basically, under Jeremy Corbyn, Labour has had its worst performance at a general election, admittedly still with 20 or so seats to come in. But Labour will have had its worst performance since 1935. This is the most resounding Conservative Party victory since Margaret Thatcher's heyday of 1987.
Wow.
The Liberal Democrat leader, who only a couple of weeks ago was talking about how she could become Prime Minister, she's not even a an MP now. She lost her seat in Scotland. Big gains for the SNP, who were a sort of double-issue party in the sense of they didn't want Brexit and they want British independence. And so backed again by the Scots. That creates an interesting kind of dilemma north of the border for us. But also interesting, I know they weren't expected to do that well, but given how high up on the agenda around the world environmental issues are, the Green Party just cannot make headway. I think they're going to end up with one seat again, and that will be that, despite everything we see on our TVs and how many people see Melting Ice Caps and David Attenborough's documentaries and sympathise.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a broader coverage there, very thorough. Thank you so much. Interestingly, one of the WhatsApps that we got this morning was, please ask Adam Gilchrist, will we see Brexit in our lifetime? And you're saying, if you can live till January, at least that's what Boris is saying.
We're going to get a version of Brexit, certainly. But interesting in our lifetime, because I suppose the full Brexit, when Britain has completely left the European Union and then has very individual trade deals set up with every individual country around the world, that could take 20 years.
So. Indeed, quite right.
Don't hold your breath.
If you want to talk about a country sort of moving from one way of life to another, we can just look at Hong Kong, right? That's a 50-year process, but that's
Yeah, story. Exactly. There you go.
Right. Just one more for me. If you wouldn't mind, talk to us about the missing Chilean plane.
Yeah, this is it disappeared off radar screens on Monday night, and this is obviously some concern. And to be honest, it's one of those now where it's a search, but it's not a rescue anymore. Surely a plane with 38 people on board. It was a Chilean Air Force plane, a Hercules, that went down. It was on its way from Chile to a base in Antarctica and essentially went down somewhere over the South Atlantic or in an area of water known as Drake Passage. They've been frantically looking. There's some debris that's been seen. But you know what? They're taking this pretty seriously because Chile and Argentina don't always see eye to eye, but Argentina is helping in the search, and indeed so are British forces in the Falklands. So imagine that there could be RAF teams working with the Argentine military and the Chileans looking for this plane. So maybe at least out of tragedy will come a little bit of harmony.
Indeed. All right. Well, we hope that is actually found. Adam, always interesting and powerful to get the view from the world view from you. Adam Gilchrist out there in London, thank you so much for the crossing. We'll catch up with you next Monday.